Amen. Good to be in the house tonight. Hallelujah. Well, one thing I know is I was thinking tonight coming here that I believe it was in 1983 that I met the prophet, and you know him as pastor, I know him as prophet, and we have traveled some nations and done some things together. And one good thing about us is that we know how to fight like Christians. Come on, somebody say amen. I've done 100 and some odd weddings in my life, and one of the things I do is when I do my premarital counseling, I teach Christians how to fight like Christians, because you know you're going to fight. Yeah. Hallelujah. I wish I had known what I know today when I first got married. Hallelujah. I met my wife when she was 15 years old and I was 16. They know that in Zimbabwe. I just came back from Zimbabwe and we had great meetings there, and I wish I had some time. I'd be here tomorrow to hear that faith teaching. Because faith without expression is really not faith. And but anyways, I met my wife. I want to get into something that happened to me this morning, early in the morning when I was in prayer, about 2:30. But I met my wife when she was 15 years old. I was 16. And brothers, I know what it's like to be pursued. Wow, this tight group here, they're tight tonight. We got to get them loosened up a little bit. Hallelujah, it's English jokes. And I was with her, and she's a great minister of the gospel, a wonderful woman of God, and committed to my success. And I'm excited about being with a person. It's 39 years this month we've been together. And she's still crazy about me. Hallelujah. I just said, you know, that's a miracle. Hallelujah. Through all the different seasons that we've been through in our life, and she's still crazy about me. Before I came in here, I called her on the phone. She's interceding tonight for us. She's got some stuff that she's doing. In fact, when I was in Zimbabwe, before I get into the word, I like to say when I go to the nation, I talk about my family, because, you know, God's a family man. Amen. Hallelujah. And I've learned to love my family. And how many know it's easy to love your brother and sister, but to love your family? I know not down here in Kingston, but where I live, we got some tough sheep, and they're related to me. I call them Lambos. You know, you got any Lambos down here in the Kingston area? Hallelujah. But I so appreciate the Geralds, really, I do. And I'm not here to patronize him, because he don't need to be patronized, but truthfully, he is. To know him is to love him. I feel like a poem. And he's a deep river. And if you don't like change, you probably should go to the Baptist church down the road. Because as we were worshiping tonight, I heard the Lord say to me about the river again. And let me tell you something about the river. I love the river because it's refreshing. I love to jump in there, splash around, make some noise, and get touched and refreshed and cool. But in that river, there are resources. There are people who have learned to harvest the minerals and the substance in the river. I believe being touched by God. Look, I'm hungry today. I met Jesus in 1963. From the time I was 16 to 20, I just got stupid. I know nobody down here in Kingston gets stupid. And I thought that somehow, because I didn't have a testimony, it was something out in the world. But I tell you what, I sing this song. I was singing it earlier this morning. I need the every hour. I need the old blessed Savior. Bless me now. I need that blessing. Not so I can feel refreshed in that river. Because when you come out of the river, there are people going to hell. While we're in here tonight enjoying the presence, look, I'm a church guy. If you come, if by the grace of God, if I live 30 more years, and I pray I do, you're going to hear me preach some of the same things, because it's in the Bible. Amen. And this gospel is about one thing. It's about people. Yeah. I thank God somebody prayed for me, Pastor. Amen. Amen. I have a man in my church when I was in my rebellious years. He was at my mother's house, and he's almost died of cancer last year. I was in the hospital with him, and the doctor, he's married to my cousin. They said, I was there. The doctor said, you need to go home and plan for his funeral. He'll never leave this hospital. I mean, no, that's pretty bad. Amen, amen. Last stages of cancer, prostate cancer, eating his body. But I want you to know, a year later, he's completely healed and free. And I remember when I was 17 years old, how he came to visit my parents, and they had me in a corner of my kitchen. I mean, a lot of great things happen in kitchens. And so he got me in the corner there, and he started telling me about the call of God in my life. I didn't want to hear it. But there was something deep was calling on the deep. Even and I have never forgot that man. And I love that man. And as I prayed for him in that hospital, when there was a sense of hopelessness, because, you see, I know that my brother will say this, Dean, and concur with me tonight. There's a difference between the facts and the truth.
That's right.
The fact was he was loaded with cancer. He had months to live. But the truth was 2,000 years ago, the stripes of Jesus healed him from the top of his head to the bottom of his feet. And so I thank God that I'm not here to, I just love the guy. We've been kind of disconnected because we go to different places. But I know whenever I see him, it's like it was just yesterday. I saw him the day before. I really mean that for him. And he is in a dangerous place because he's hungry for God. And I'm going to tell you what, you hunger for whatever you feed on. If I was here tonight, I'd be writing that down. You will hunger for whatever you feed on. You will hunger for whatever you feed on. You will hunger. And this minute, there's something happening. Look, I've preached in over 400 churches in my life. And I know there's nothing like the church when it works.
Amen.
And there's nothing like the church when it don't work.
Amen.
Ask me how I know, I'll tell you someday. Hallelujah. But as I was here tonight, I felt the Holy Ghost said to me about the river. And we've sung about the river. We have been in the river. And we're the same. When we get out of the river, we're the same. Because unless you use it, the Bible says by reason of use, we exercise our senses to discern both good and evil. That word exercise is where we get the English word gymnastics from. We need to get touched by God. This is the house of the Lord as far as a physical facility. But you know in the new covenant, man, I was in Zimbabwe in Harare. I was up on the 16th floor, and I was in intercession looking over the city of Harare, and the Spirit of God spoke to me about the mystery. We think that mystery has been completely revealed. It has not been revealed completely. And Paul talked about the glories of the riches of this mystery. The glory of the riches of this mystery, which is Christ in you.
Yes, yes, yes.
I remember as I looked over that city, brother, and I started interceding for that city and for the work of God there, that I felt big on the inside. I know we used to sing that old song, A Great Big God, Little Bitty Devil. And it's probably one of the most accurate theological songs that I know of. But God wants to touch you, not just so you can feel good about yourself when you look in a mirror. You see, God wants, there's a paradigm shift happening in the body of Christ. God is releasing, I've been saying this for about 5 years now, God's releasing greater grace into the house of the Lord that he might expedite the transition to bring us into a greater place of maturity. Look, this church don't need no visitation from God. You need a habitation from God. Because revival, as a matter of fact, I'm going to tell you this story in a second, because it just happened this morning. I was very, very tired. I had been traveling and preaching, and I got preached last night in Yonkers, New York, last night. And you ever go to bed, you're just so tired, you don't even know how you got to bed? Man, I was one of those nights, as I'm going into the hotel room, I'm stripping. By the time I got to the bed, I don't know what it was, but people were screaming. That's all I know. And I got into bed. I don't even know how I fell asleep. But I woke up, and I had a dream. Like, I've only remember one other dream I had, and I had it repeatedly as a young person. And it was a picture of a witch. Remember the witch on Dorothy? And she was chasing me, and she was riding a hot dog. I haven't figured out what the prophetic significance of it yet, but I can still remember, and I think it was an Oscar Mayer, because I don't even think they have him anymore, but I grew up with that, and that thing used to haunt me, and I didn't even eat a hot dog for years. I'm a hamburger guy, personally. But I had this dream, and in this dream, I woke up, and I was in a hotel room, and in this hotel room, there was two godly men with me. How many know that you know in the dream you know everything? You know, in my dreams, I've never lost a fight in my dreams. And as I come into this hotel room, there's these two godly men with me that I knew. And when I walk around to this hotel room, the bed, there was a prostitute in that bed. And she was the most gorgeous looking thing I've ever seen. I don't even know how I knew she was a prostitute, but you know, in your dreams, you just know things. And I knew in my spirit that these two men had partaken of her, these godly men. And as I stood before her, I was drawn to her, not in a sexual way, but in a seducing demonic way, like a spell. I've preached through Haiti. I've seen people in voodoo trances. I've seen it. It was one of those. Not, I wasn't drawn to her sexually, but I was drawn to her. And I remember that I had to resist her. You know, the Bible says resist the devil. And I remember as these two men of God, I knew they had the shame on them. And I stood there and I resisted them. And when I awoke, I heard the Lord say, "It's time for revival." I was so moved by that word that it was 5 o'clock in the morning. I got up and I never really understood what, I for some reason I went on the internet. I had my wife's laptop. I went in, I Googled, and I found that the word revival came, it was a Latin word from 1375. And actually come from a Latin word called vivere, which means to live. And that, you know how etymologically words evolve? You know what I'm talking about? 500 years ago, if you said the word fox, people would think of a little bushy tail. Today, it could be an eye fox. It could be a hot chick. I don't know, but words are like that. And so they created a word because of things that were dead that became alive, and they came up with the word revival. It means to, in fact, we get the word revitalization from. And so as I sit there at 5 o'clock in the morning, I started to pray. And the Lord started to speak to me. He said, "That's the type of the church. That prostitute was a church."
My God.
And God spoke to me that He will take this last end time. Look, we possibly could be the generation that will be alive and remaining at the coming of the Lord. Yeah. I'm hoping so. But I also believe we're not going up until we grow up. There's certain prophetic things that must be fulfilled. In fact, I was in a meeting today, and this other guy was preaching, and he was talking about different types of eschatology, and he said, "Brother Fink, no one knows the day Jesus is returning." I said, "I know the day." He says, "The day thou thinkest not." That's what the Bible says. I know the day. It's the day you think not. And so as I was musing over and praying over that vision that I had, that dream that I have, the Lord started showing me how the Bible says that in the last days, if it's feasible, that even the elect in Christ could be deceived. Now, look, I'm a foundation guy. I'm a foundation guy. You might not think I'm too deep, but I just stayed to my roots. You know, if it don't broke, it's not broke, don't fix it. Let me tell you some of the foundations of the church. And by the way, the ultimate thing I'm going to talk about tonight is that God wants you to take the resources around you and to build something with it. Jesus is built. You know, while we're here tonight, my brother talked about, I'd like to talk to him more about this whole thing that's happened up where we are too in Albany. People being shot. We just had a girl 10 years old, drive by, someone went to shoot somebody else, killed this little girl. And it's just horrible. And we are called to occupy till He comes. Look, this is, you know, people think that justification is just a vacation. It is not. We come to the house of the Lord to get equipped. You know, one thing I love about this ministry is that you're getting a diversity of people. Do you know how many people do not get people from the nations? I mean, I have been in a lot of churches, and the only thing they know about the nations is National Geographic. But you're experiencing a man here. Look at, I have at my house right now, I brought back from Zimbabwe, I have a $100,000 bill from his nation. I have a $1 million note, a $5 million note. I have a $5 billion note and one $10 trillion note. People wouldn't believe me. The currency has been canceled. This nation was called the breadbasket of Africa. Now they can't feed themselves. But in the midst of that, the gospel is going forth. Amen. In the midst of it, there's clinics, and the people are finding Christ, and they're feeding the poor, and they're doing all medical things in the midst of the poverty. And so God wants us to take the resources. And by the way, what is in your hand, if it's not enough for your need, it's probably your seed.
Amen.
And look, this is a time of seeding for America. We've got to go back to our roots and seed the nation. So God wants you to find out about the resources. I appreciate, you know, I'm a jumper. I'm a big guy, but I can do the Christian bunny hop. And that's wonderful. We come together to get encouraged, to get built up, to get trained, to get equipped. But ultimately, you need to make your calling and your election sure. Now, the ministry here, they can help you. They can give you They can take the resources. That's really what the fivefold ministry is here to do, is to mold you. You know, there is such potential in this. I was here tonight in my spirit. Look at people come and go. You know that about the church? In fact, I heard the story of this man. He was a Christian man. He was on this ship, and he was taking a big cruise. And in the midst of the cruise, the ship had an accident, and it sunk. And he jumped on a board, and he finally hung for days, and he found himself on an island. And he decided to make the best of it, and so he just worked, and he got bamboo, and he made a house. And finally, 5 years later, he's there by himself. A ship comes by and sees his smoke. And so the captain came in with a small, you know, contingency of people, and they see him, and he's just elated. He'd been praying, God, help me. And so the captain said, I see you built three houses here. He said, yeah. He said, that's where I live, right over there. Wow. He said, well, what's that place? He said, that's where I go to church. He said, what's that one? He said, that's where I used to go to church. There was shifting, and there was movement in the body of Christ. God is dislocating right now things in the spirit. Some people think that some splits are of the devil. Some of them are God. Absolutely. I now have a ministry of helping other churches grow. I had a man come to my house, our church, and he said he was a prophet. After three services with him, I pulled him aside. I said, you know, brother, I tell you, I love you. I appreciate you. If you need anything, you call me. But, you know, there's 12 tribes in Israel. He said, I know, brother. I know the Bible. I said, well, this is not your tribe. You think that's mean? Because eventually, I'm going to throw them out anyways. Because if they don't come with the same vision, they will bring division. Believe me. And so, sometimes God does things. He cleanses us, and he brings a wind, a refreshment of our spirit. It's not, look at this fire. Your ministry is now called fire. Let me tell you something about fire. There's seven different baptisms taught in the New Covenant, and they're all a type of the Christian experience. I'm not here to teach tonight, but I just wanted to exhort you and get you a couple of notes that I did write down before I came here. I mean, how many know that when John the Baptist, he preached the baptism into repentance? Come on, help me a little bit tonight. If you got your Bibles with you, you know that. Now, look, baptism doesn't mean to be sprinkled, but I find a lot of Christians who come to our church, they're not whelmed or covered or fully submersed in that repentance. Look, the older I get in the Lord, I behold the goodness and the severity of God. I fear God. One of the reasons why I don't commit adultery is because I fear God and I fear my wife. When I was a young man, we would argue. We didn't have a father like Christians, so I would say things to her, and she used to threaten me. She'd say, I'll never leave you. I'm like, don't you ever threaten me like that. I'm telling you. She used to be Catholic. And so God is calling in this hour. Look, when you look at some of the great revivals, they're indicative of a couple. Number one is repentance. And look, I'm a faith guy. Let me just tell you something about sin. We can't have an overactive sin conscience because it destroys your sense of righteousness. I have a Bible study on Tuesday nights with all Pakistanis, and they're saved. But these people live under the law. I'm teaching a series on understanding the war is over and about how to walk in that right standing with God. One guy said, I know I believe in right standing, but you say Jesus Christ plus nothing, Pastor. What about eating pork? They come with head coverings and, oh, my goodness. And I tried to get him into new freedom. But you can't find favor with God by keeping the law. Amen. And so I don't want to be just sprinkled with repentance. I want to be well. I want nothing between my soul and my Savior. And let me tell you something. There was a great atmosphere here tonight. I'm refreshed. I'm renewed tonight. But as we're in here enjoying the presence of God, there are people. Right now, every 90 seconds, a teenager takes their life. Those over the age of 75 are accelerating to the same rate of suicide. There are people who are homeless. There are people contemplating suicide and divorce. And there's people with gender confusion. All these things while we're in here being refreshed in the river. Get out of the river and take what Christ has given you and go get the devil and beat him up. Amen. Reach into that fire. Look at it. We need to plunder hell to populate heaven. God doesn't have another agenda. I know that 86% of people who come to Christ come because of a friend or a relative. I'm in here tonight, got saved in a mass crusade. Can you just raise your hand? Let me see. There's not even one. You got the Holy Ghost. Jesus said we should tarry in Jerusalem till we do with power from on high. Acts 1, it says you shall receive power when the Holy Ghost has come upon you so you can be a witness. 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 Let me tell you, we talk about the fruit of the Spirit, the gifts of the Spirit, but the fruit of a Christian is another Christian.
Amen.
I meet people all the time. I'm saved 20 years. How many disciples? I ain't got one. We need to take this anointing. We need to take this revived, refreshed, renewed spirit, and we need to plunder hell.
Amen.
Every financial problem is a result of a lack of evangelism.
Yes.
You are God's agenda. You're God's business. God designed for you to reach the lost as well as me. By the way, sheep reproduce sheep, not shepherds. That's against the law. You know, there's certain things that you know. I watch these young brothers move in the gifts of the Spirit. I'm excited about that. A brother we both know who was in Czechoslovakia for 13 years, he started many churches. Now he starts the church. He goes out on the street and he takes that word of knowledge. I don't want to be no dry boat rider. I want to be a wet water walker. It's easy to walk in the water in here. Get out there where the heathens are. I've been witnessing to a guy for 3 years at the YMCA. I just recently found out that he's gay. He likes me. I used to be homophobic. Jesus didn't come to bring, heterosexuality. He came to bring wholeness for the spirit, soul, and man. And so I was talking to him. I was in the hot tub, and I was wondering every time when he gets in, all the other men get out. I just thought it was me or something, you know. I get in the water, rise a little bit higher, and people are afraid. I don't know. But so we're sitting in there, and I got talking about free speech in Canada. It's now against the law in Canada to say that homosexuality is a sin. There's ministers in jail today in Canada for that. And so he says to me as we're sitting in this hot tub, he says, I don't agree with that. You know, you can't get a bigger gay than me. And he's a close talker. You know close talkers? You have them down here in Kingston? Whenever you talk, he's like right in your face. I sometimes talk like this because he's a close talker. I get in the hot tub, I always put my knee up when he comes in because he's a close talker. I didn't know he liked me. And plus, I gave him a gift. I didn't know that. Somebody gave me a headphone you can swim with. I didn't like it. And so he said, I like it. I said, here, you can have it. He told all of his gay friends, he gave me a gift. But I've been interceding for him. And I'm going to tell you something. I'm going to lead him to Christ, and I'm going to baptize him in water. I'm going to take the authority of Jesus, and not just splash in the river. I'm going to cast the devil out of his spirit, and I'm going to see him saved and renewed and reborn and activated for the ministry.
Amen.
Let's take the resources. Let's take what God gave us.
Amen.
I was teaching in the Bible school, and I had some of the students went over to like a Cumberland Farm type thing, and I said to them, how many want to reach the lost? Yes. I said, let's all just start speaking in tongues. What are you talking about? We're in Cumberland's. I said, the Bible says speaking in tongues is a sign to the unbeliever. Let's speak loud. And they all walked down and left me there. I can tell you something tonight. I'm not ashamed that I speak in tongues. Matter of fact, the five top largest churches on the globe worship the way we did tonight. We're no longer a minority in the earth. We are the majority of the earth. In fact, every time they had a revival in the scriptures, in the old covenant, they always went back to worship God according to Davidic worship, according to the Psalms. Tonight, we moved in different dimensions of those seven Hebrew words for worship tonight. I was experiencing it. And you know what? I was so blessed by the Gerald girls. Man, I wish I could sing like you. Man, this girl can she not sing? And man, she is so good. I knew them. They went to our Christian school when they were just little girls, and now they're just chasing the devil away. Hallelujah.
Amen.
So revival. Would you say the word revival tonight? I got to get my glasses out here. Thank you, Jesus. You know, there's certain things in the spirit that we all know. I listen a lot when I travel. I kind of shut the music off because I got into a habit of worshiping worship. And so now I have on my iPod, I have the scriptures. And before I came here tonight, I was tired. I only slept a few hours last night and preached 5 times in 2 days. And so I sat over by that gas station for about a half hour, and I put the word on. And I just let it wash me and renew me and strengthen me. So I can come here tonight. Look, I could preach on, I'm like him, I've preached 15, 20,000 times. I mean, preaching is not a problem. Getting a current relevant word is the issue. That's the issue for you and for me. But there are things we know. And I heard in 1 John says that you have an anointing and you know all things. You ever learn something that you already knew? I can tell you this story before I get into my words in Psalms. Is that there was this man. He took his wife and they were going to go buy a pet. So I go into this pet store, and as I walk into the pet store, there's this huge parrot in this cage. And the man's walking with his wife, and the parrot says, "Hey, mister." He looks over. He said, "What?" He said, "Your wife. She's as ugly as dirt." Well, this man, how dare you? He's arguing with, "How dare you talk about my wife like that?" And he went and got the manager. He said, "I come in here, your parrot, it just insulted my wife. Said she was ugly as dirt." And the man said, "I am so sorry, sir." And so he says, "Excuse me." He goes down and opens that cage, smacks that bird, wraps his neck, pulls some feathers out, throws them in there. Said, "Don't you ever talk to another customer like that. You hear me?" So the man buys what he's going to buy. And as they're walking out, the parrot says something. Says, "Hey, mister." He says, "What?" And he says, "You know what." And there's some things in God we know. I'm sorry, my brother should have brought a pillow tonight. Hallelujah. Revival. One of the great things I like about the word of knowledge is this. The scripture says in Hebrews chapter 11, this brother not only can teach faith, he lives it. There's two types of knowledge in the Greek. One is from the Greek word gnosis, which means information. Another one is epikinosis. It's experiential knowledge. Look, I don't want to hear somebody who can tell me about his understanding from a book about salvation. I want to meet somebody who's tasted and seen that the Lord is good.
Amen.
So I encourage you to be under this teaching tonight. He taught a teaching in our church about ministering to the poor. It has messed me up in a godly good way. And so the scripture talks about faith. I don't know what he's going to talk about, but over in Hebrews 11, it says that all the patriarchs, though they died in faith, having not received the promises, they saw them afar off. And look at, by faith, we can build a strong New Testament church. And by the way, by faith, God wants you to go beyond feeling good about yourself, because there might be some situations where you don't feel good about yourself, and faith still works. I have found in God that you don't define your life by your personal environment. You don't define your life by your failures, your frustrations, your divorce. You know, somebody beat you with a wet noodle when you were a kid. And look, you might have had a bad beginning, but you can have a great ending of your life. And by the way, as a Christian, I didn't know this. And as a Christian, there are sunny days and there's cloudy days. There's snowy days. My brother, you would have thought this was February he came in here tonight. Coats on and he's just like, woo-hoo-hoo. Come on back in February, brother. And so in life, in your Christian journey, and by the way, this is a journey. And you should just enjoy and savor every day. When I was first came into a Pentecostal holiness church when I was a young man, I became more legalistic than before when I was just a Baptist. I don't do this. I was in a church where your women couldn't cut their hair, couldn't wear no makeup. I don't know. All the women were ugly. All the men were handsome. I don't know how it worked like that, but it just did. In fact, it came so bad in that church. Look, these people love God. We had to fast so many days a week. I think you should fast. But it became the law. And a man said to me, "Brother Fink," when I was a young man, he said, "You need to read 10 chapters of the Bible every day." That thing became a curse to me. Because if I only made it through 8 before I fell asleep, I would feel God was mad at me and going to judge me. And thanks be to God that the strength of sin is the law. But we're not under the law. Hallelujah. And by the way, just so you know, every sin that ever has been committed or you ever will commit has already been paid for. I mean, is that good news? Someone said that news is so good, it's almost too good to be true. That God is not dealing with me after my sins, nor rewarding me according to my... Sin is not the issue. There's an antidote for sin. Don't let sin stop you from apprehending why Christ has. Sin is not a problem. In fact, the Bible says that even today, as we're here, that the blood of Abel speaketh better things than that in the blood of... what's his brother's name? Come on. Yeah. Just had a senior moment there for a second. Wow, I'm back. That the blood of Jesus speaketh better things than that of the blood of Abel. See, Abel's blood cried for retribution. The blood of Jesus cries redemption. Hallelujah. Because of that blood, we have access. You know what? God, years ago, and more today than every time in my life, I have been delivered by faith from performance ministry. I don't have to entertain you. I don't have to entertain God. In fact, I can come with boldness into the throne room of grace. That Greek word means to have no shame in your face. I used to be ashamed to come into the presence of God because I defined my life by my performance that day. Thanks be to God who gives me victory through Jesus Christ my Lord. The Colossians says I have been accepted into the beloved. Colossians 1 also says that he has qualified me to become. I couldn't qualify me. We used to sing an old song. I'm sure that Brother Vaughn has also too sung this song. That he paid a debt he did not owe, and I owed a debt I could not pay. Hallelujah. And that is the gospel truth. So tonight we're going to pray in a few moments for you. I'm going to share something just in a few moments. I don't want to keep you late. Pastor said get out of here by 1, so I want to get you in church in time. Hallelujah. But I'm just speaking to you tonight as a brother and tell you the potential for your life. Now, wouldn't it be a horrible thing to stand before the judgment seat of Christ? And by the way, you will stand there and I will stand there. We will not be judged for heaven or hell. The blood of Jesus has already qualified me. Hallelujah. But we will be judged for what we've done with the resources that God has given us in this life. Then the Bible says, knowing, right in that same context, knowing the terror of the Lord, how should we live? People say, well, there'll be no tears in heaven. The Bible doesn't say there'll be no tears in heaven. It says he'll wipe away our tears. Because I think there's going to be some sadness of heart when we saw the resources. We're splashing around, playing in games, trying to feel good about ourselves. And look, I want you to feel good about yourself. I do. We have a lady in the church who drives me crazy. Every time she hugs me, she says, Pastor Fink, look in the mirror and give yourself a hug. Oh, jeez. She came from the 60s. And God's not interested about feeling good about yourself. Because, you see, the word happiness has to do with your surrounding. We have the joy of the Lord. Look, I have been poisoned twice. I've been attacked by Hindus and tried to flip my vehicle over hills. I've been in peril with my life at times. But in the midst of all of it, I have come to find that greater is he who's in me than he that's within the world. It's more than Christian argo or a slogan we say so we can, you know, I think I can, I think I can, I think I can, I think I can. I'm beyond that. So the script said all these patriarchs, though they died in faith, not receiving the promises, they saw them afar off. By the way, I'm going to challenge you with all the information and the revelation. By the way, revelation is caught. It can't be taught. Yeah. The brethren in this house can preach. They can teach. But you need to have an open spirit. Amen. You got to have an open spirit. You know, I believe all revelation I was teaching today, all revelation comes from here. You get all this word and no spirit, you dry up. Mm. You ever meet dried up Christians? Like beef jerky on the inside. Just all gnarled up and dried up and the last move of God in their life was the ivory on the church outside. That's it. But you get all the word and no spirit, you drop. You get all the spirit and no word, you blow up. But if you get the spirit and the word, we grow up. Amen. I want you to know, brother, I'm not picking on you about what happened tonight. I was proud that you stepped out of the boat and you're a wet water walker. But I want to see us do that very same thing at Walmart's. You know, I have led several people at Walmart's to Christ. Several people. I was with a woman who was on dialysis, and I met her, had a word of knowledge about her, and she told me she was in kidney failure and going to a dialysis machine 3 times a week. So I pray for her right there, and I pray loud. I make people nervous. The devil used to make me nervous. I'm making him big time nervous. So I don't see her. I pray for her. I don't see her for about 3-4 months. She sees me, Reverend Fink, Reverend Fink. I don't go to dialysis anymore. God healed me. What a testimony. Now she tells me she's going to bring her kids and her grandkids all to church. Where'd that happen? Didn't happen in the church. We don't go into all the world, bring them into the holy building to hear the holy man. You can do that, but it's better off for you to get them saved. Use the gifts. Use the power of God. Use the resources that God has put within you. There are people you can touch that we can never touch as ministers. In fact, this guy who's a homosexual, he doesn't even know I'm a pastor. Because the moment I say that, walls go up. I think he's intimidated by my belt a little bit, but he's going to have to get over that situation. All these patriarchs, though they died in faith, having not received. You know what's happened in the body of Christ? There are people who love Jesus who are dying, never receiving the promises. We live in a better covenant, established upon better promises. And matter of fact, all these promises are yea and in him, they're amen. We've got what it takes right now. We got the answer to what this city needs. And by the way, let's kind of move beyond Kingston, can't we? Let's think about planting churches in the nations. Let's talk about going to New Paltz. Let's talk about going across the river, New York, whatever it might be. Some of you need to be scattered. Some of you need to get equipped to get ready, because God is going to dislocate, to relocate you, because harvest. We just sang tonight. I started asking for nations tonight. You're singing that song? I wasn't just singing. I'm saying, Lord, I said Honduras, because I met my brother's family from Honduras. I was praying for Haiti, for Nicaragua, and I was praying for throughout Africa. I'm asking, I'm going to receive.
Amen.
In fact, last Saturday night, 2 o'clock in the morning, my wife and myself both woke up at the same time, and we interceded to the daybreak, the Hebrew calls it the breaking of the day, Bokar in Hebrew. By the way, at Bokar time, you know what happens? The Bible says that the angels ascend and descend because they already were here, receiving their assignments every day. Remember, Jesus had the same vision with Nathanael under the tree there?
Yeah.
He said, don't marvel at this. The day will come, you'll see the heavens open, the angels ascending because they're already here. And descending. I'm working in agreement with the host. Lord has told me. And so last Saturday night, my wife and myself were praying and interceding for situations. And God spoke this word to me. He said, son, the greatest sin you've ever committed is the sin of prayerlessness. Based on that song you sang tonight, you must concur with me. You said if we ask. You said if we ask, we shall receive. Is that not the gospel? So that means finances really is not a problem. I need $1 million, and at least in this next year. $1 million American. I don't need $1 million kwacha. Or the Zim dollar, I need American cash. So if you have a lot of extra money, you don't know what to do with it, come see me right afterwards, and I'll give you my website and my card. I'll ask the pastor first. And I'm going to receive that money. I'm not going to use it for me. I'm going to scatter it. I just got blessed financially by somebody. Me and my wife kept a fraction, and we sowed. Because even in all the nations are saying, recession, it's getting bad, unemployment 10.2. Well, the Bible says that Joseph sowed seeds in time of famine, and that year he received 100-fold. Look, I know that when you've been having revival meetings, you're sowing a lot of seeds. Don't worry about that situation. Do not worry about that. You just keep sowing your seed, because as long as the earth remains, there's seed time and harvest time. And God is not unrighteous to forget your labor of love. But I want to ask you, where do you see yourself 12 months from now?
Yeah.
Just splashing around in the river, feeling good about yourself? I know not around here, but up where I live, we have what we call yo-yo Christians. I know not down here. And is this Ulster? In Ulster County, you don't have to all live up in Albany County, where I am, in the capital. You know, the circumstances are good. Life is good. Hallelujah, Jesus. And things go bad. Oh. I got people with 3 cars. One of them break down. They want to become a Mormon. You know, I mean, just continually allowing, you know, instead of being controlled on the inside, look, we're moving into another paradigm. There has never been Christians who have lived in the hour you're about to live in. Matter of fact, I used to think as a young Christian, before I got mature, I can remember staying up all night reading my Bible. That was before I got mature. Now that I'm mature, I got to rest, brother. I'm tired. Man, I don't want to get in trouble because Prophet Vaughn is going to throw me out of here. Hallelujah. The issue is, I spent many years trying to be more like Jesus. It eluded me. Because I got more knowledge. Knowledge has a tendency to puff up. I got tapes. In fact, I remember when they first came out with CDs, it was like the great. I used to have old reel-to-reels. That's how old I am. And I would listen to William Branham stuff that people gave me, and healing stuff, and Oral Roberts preaching when I was young, on reel to reel. And man, once we got cassettes, I figured my life was changed. I bought a whole series by Alexander Scorby. In fact, I'm sorry, it wasn't cassettes. It was reel to reel. What do you call those? 8-tracks. Come on, old people, help me. 8-tracks. And one thing about 8-tracks, you could put them in, and they'll play continually. And we didn't have a TV in our house because I was in a church that it was the one-eyed devil. Anybody else here? It's called the devil vision. But I thank God. God gave that technology to reach the world. That the devil might abuse it. And so I got these 8-track tapes. And I'm telling you something. I had this thought, if I could just hear the word enough. So we would sleep at nighttime, me and my wife, with the Bible going all the time. I figured, you know, like 8 weeks, I'll be walking on the water. Hallelujah. Everybody would look at me and say, wow, he's like Jesus. They'd be looking at me saying, he looks like Jesus. They'll be looking at moi. He looks like Jesus. Because I thought it was more about me. And the Bible says Jesus made himself of no reputation. We're moving into an hour for you and for me. That not only does God want us to get out of the river and take the resources and the refreshment and renewal we received and do something with it. You know, I had a man 2 years ago. I'm still messed up emotionally over this. I led him to Christ. He was an Afro-American man. And I loved him like my brother. I brought him to my house. He was homeless. I met him at a city mission. And I just loved him. If I had met him when I was a teenager, we would have been best friends. You know? Just loved him. And he had no family because his addiction destroyed his family relationships. But he had this problem. He confessed to me that he actually came from wealthy, wealthy Afro-American family in New Jersey. Raised with his family owned the largest printing company in New Jersey, which is a big state. And because he went to an all-white school, the only black kid. Blacks didn't receive him. The whites didn't receive him. He was just messed up in his head looking for people. He had a hard time comprehending that God could receive him. And so he got hooked up to this thing about the rules and regulations. Well, if I read the Bible three chapters a day, I confess the word for 5 minutes, the next thing you know, the life, the spontaneity of the Spirit now became nothing but a law. No one could live under the law. Paul said to Peter, he said, you're trying to put these young converts back under the law that neither you nor your fathers could do, and now you want them to do it? It was for freedom that Christ died. And so I never forget as he started to withdraw from the church. Let me tell you something, there's nothing worse as a pastor than to see people you know withdraw. It hurts me. I've actually had to become desensitized to people because it hurts bad. And so I remember that how I hadn't seen him in a few weeks. I couldn't find him. I finally came into my office, and the word of the Lord came to me. And you might not like what I'm about to tell you, but I can only give what God gives me. And I gave him a word. And I said, if he goes near crack again, I had offered him, took him to drug rehabs, everything. But when he got under that law, he quit. It was just a demonic thing. And unless people want to be free, they can't get free. You just can't. You could say everything. Jack be nimble, Jack be quick. They're not going to get free unless there's something in them that wants freedom. And by the way, when people don't know what to do, they always go back to what's familiar. Quote me on that one. So I prophesied over him in my office. I hugged him and I wept and I held him. I said, if you touch the pipe again, God says his hand is moving. You don't have to touch him. We hugged and wept. He said, I'll see you in the morning. That Sunday morning, he didn't come to church. He went to a crack house. Took a pipe, and as he sucked on that pipe, he had a massive heart attack, died with the pipe. I was messed up. I loved him. Did his funeral in New Jersey. And the truth is, over 60 people came to Christ around that casket. People say, well, you're just taking advantage of them. Absolutely. Using every available thing to reach every available person. And that's what the gospel is all about. Saturation of gospel. And look at this church in just 12 months will be a different church. If we let our light so shine before men. And look, that's the word of the Lord tonight. Get refreshed. Get renewed. Get empowered. Get encouraged. Get equipped. And get out of here. Wow, that's a lot of ease. I mean that. Look, I could preach you some sermons that would be a blessing to you tonight. But as I've spent hours praying for tonight and for you. I don't know many of you, but you're my brother and you're my sister, and we're going to be together. Let's get this job done. Amen. One of the aches of my heart is when a girl recently was raped, a 4-year-old girl, a 3-year-old girl in Florida was raped and murdered. I was beside myself. Just beside myself. Man's inhumanity to man without Christ is barbaric. I know why Paul called them beast at beastly. Charles Spurgeon said there that a man without the Spirit of God is nothing more than a devil. I know that seems extreme. And I remember as I cried out to God for the pain of that family. I have children, I have grandchildren now, and I look forward to the day when the Bible says that the lion will lay down with the lamb. that his kingdom is an everlasting kingdom. His scepter is the scepter of righteousness. And that day will come, it says, that Jesus was filled with joy above his fellows because he loved righteousness and not iniquity. And I'm looking forward to that day for you and me, but it's not now. Now is the time to occupy. Now is the time to walk around this city, around this neighborhoods, and throw oil. Like I used to think it was kind of extreme. I'm going to invest in oil. I use everything. I have olive oil, chicken oil. If it's oil, I'm using it. I don't care. And I know it seems Old Testament, you know, but I take it. I'm anointing everything. I'm claiming it. I walk around business, and now I claim it. I claim medical people. Now I got 50 medical people, doctors, and everything in our church. Now I need some lawyers because I'm in trouble. I have two who are related to me, but they charge me. The patriarchs, though they died in faith, having not received the promises. And see, the devil is a dream thief. Yes, are you? Some of you here tonight, you've taken your harp and you put it up in that willow tree tonight. You've been hurt. By the way, whatever has hurt you can heal you. If a prophet has hurt you, a prophet can heal you. If a mother has hurt you, a mother can heal you. Whatever has hurt you can heal you. I'm telling you, I'm experiencing that. Some of the things I shied away from are the very things that are drawing to me. We're just about done, and we're going to pray. All the patriarchs, though they died in faith, having not received the promises, they saw them afar off. It says they embraced him. They embraced the thing that they saw. Look at you have to see. Remember what Paul said to Timothy, stir up the gift that was given to thee by the laying on of hands and prophecy of the presbytery. I mean, remember that scripture in Timothy. Then he said, I want you to give yourself wholly to that. We don't know what the prophecy is. The scripture doesn't record what it was, but we know that he was a young man and he was sent into the ministry, passing a great church in Ephesus. And Paul said to him, I want you to stir up that gift, Timothy. And look at, I just was reading in Isaiah tonight, where it says, no man stirs himself up. Look, in God, you want to be successful. You want to apprehend what Christ has. You got to stir yourself up. Yeah. You got to learn to pray for yourself. Yeah. You got to learn to encourage yourself in the Lord. But, you know, sitting in the ashes of Ziklag will do nobody no good. Amen. Disbelieving God's promise because you've been hurt will do no one no good, especially your family. My son told me recently, he just came back alive from Afghanistan, Navy SEAL, 8 guys with him. 3 get killed. There's only 8 of them in that nation at that time. Right up in the border of Pakistan. My wife reads it on the news Sunday morning. 3 SEALs were killed by Muslims. And they weren't just shot. They were tortured to death. 8-10 days, I don't know if my son's alive. He's not like a regular person that has a base. And let me tell you something. That devil right there sat on my shoulder. But I delivered both of my children at home myself. I was the attending physician. You can judge me later on, but just listen. And the day he came out, I aspirated that mucus out of his nose, cut that cord, tied it off, and the Spirit of the Lord fell upon me. I'll never forget that day. I lifted him up, and the Lord said, your son will go to the nations as a prophet. Let me tell you, everything but that had happened. The meanest, nastiest people in the world are Christians who are not apprehended by Christ apprehended them. He went through this dry sea. He was a bit hurt by me, by other people in the ministry. I mean, some of our kids in the ministry, truth, they have suffered. My daughter said to me, when I get married, Dad, I'll never marry a minister. Well, she didn't, but he is now. And I prophesied over my son when my wife was sitting there. Would you hurry? She was still in pain, I guess. I was having church, and, you know, I got the baby, my first boy, and I had read an article that when you have a baby, women deplete vitamin C. I had a huge thing of orange juice. Man, I drank that thing. I was more stressed out than she was. She says, hey, that's for me. Then the good thing happened. I got my accordion out. Look at you know women just had a baby. Love accordion playing at that point. So I only knew one song at that time. This is the day. And I was playing that thing. And she said, honey, stop the accordion playing. And so anyways, the good time was had by all anyways. And so here I was. Here I was. My son is now, as far as I know, missing in action. We don't know who to talk. And the devil's right there to check me out. And he's going to check you out to see if that word's in your head or in your heart. He'll check. He's a devil. He's going to check you out to see if that word of the promises that you say you believe in are in your head or it's in your heart. Because if it's in your head, you can be persuaded to do something different. And so I remember the Bible says you can do warfare by prophecy. And my son told me when he came back from Afghanistan, he was messed up a little bit by Muslims and all kind of issues that he's worked through now, praise God. But he said, Dad, I used to think of the thought that you said to me when I was a boy. Son, if you think you're going to hell, you're born in the wrong family. That statement haunted him for 20 years. And it also gave him a sense of destiny. He just turned 30. He's now coming into the beginning of his destiny. You can wage warfare. But I used to have to walk with my son when he was in his rebellious days as a teenager. And I would have to go back and I'd have to see him differently than what he was. See, by the eye of faith, you're going to see, where is your marriage 5 years from now? Look at my marriage. My wife's going to be more crazy about them. She's got a problem. She's just told me the other day that she can't live without me. Pray for her. She's just crazy. She loves me. Now, you can believe what you want. There was a day that I was going to leave my wife and divorce her. Yeah. 26 years old. She tricked me. Before I got married, she was nice. Then we got married. All of a sudden, she turned to this neat freak. You know, you threw your stuff on the floor. And she said, I want to tell you something right now. I'm your wife, not your mother. You're not? No, I mean, I'm just, whoa. And finally, the devil got into me. The scripture says that the weapons of our warfare are not carnal. I'm trying to help you tonight as a younger Christian. The weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they're mighty through God to the pulling down of stronghold, bringing every thought, it's a Greek word noema, which a noema is a thought that comes from the kingdom of darkness. The Greek word nous means a normal, healthy mind. I've only met two people, me and Vaughn. And I'm not sure about him yet, so I'm just working on that. And so a noema of Satan is a thought. How many know you can't stop a bird from flying over your head, but you can stop him from building a nest? And so it's not the thoughts, it's what you do with the thoughts. And so that devil was right there telling me, your son is dead. The prophecy was false. Let me tell you, there was a battle that went on. And for a couple hours, I started to weep. And in my mind, I saw his funeral. I'm ashamed to tell you that it took me a while to get the revelation to walk by faith. And so finally, I got up and I went, in the name of Jesus, and I started to rebuke the devil. I went on the internet at 6 o'clock in the morning, whatever it was, and I typed it in Google, promises, scriptures for your family. Shoom! I personally went in and put his name in every one of them. Gave a copy to my wife. I said, don't say anything different than this from now on. Oh, you're into the grab it and blab it? Absolutely. It's in the Bible. I'm into it. I'm into demon deliverance. I'm into occupying. I'm into all of it. And so I had with my wife that day. I was in New York City, and in my mind, I let that stronghold, that thought develop in me. And that thought was, I didn't want another woman. I hated all women. Come on, man, let's just be honest. There's times, you know, I just crossed the line. I should have never crossed. I didn't want another woman. I couldn't take the one I had. So in my mind, I built up this strong thing in my mind that I was going to leave her. I was going to stay married. I'll get a job and just send her all the money. She can live the good life. And I'll suffer in a little hotel room in New York City. It's so stupid. I look back now. And finally, my wife said to me, I never said a word to her. She said, there's something wrong with you. In my mind, I already wasn't married to her. And become a stronghold. Thanks be to God that God anointed Jesus with the Holy Ghost, who went around doing good, healing all of those who were oppressed of the devil. I was oppressed. So I said to my wife, I said, I don't think I can hardly even stand being around you anymore. So she said, that's the devil. It's like a light came on. So we made a decision. You go in that room. We've always had a prayer room. So I went into the prayer room. She went into our bedroom. I said, we're not coming out until we get right with God. That woman screamed. She was crying to God. I didn't know. I was upset. So I went and got a glass. I put it up against the wall. Actually, I was like, what is she saying about me to God? And I know it sounds, I did do that. I was only about 24 or 25. I got the gun. It doesn't really work anyways. So finally, I got a hold of God, hours in there. And the Lord spoke to me. He said, the problem is not your wife. The problem is the devil. I went over, opened up our bedroom. I said, you're not the problem. It's the devil. Now, I told you, oh, Lord. So you might think this is stupid. I got a vision of me being married to that woman when we're old. So I said to her, it was 11 o'clock at night. Get your nightgown on. We're walking around this house. 11 o'clock at night. And we did the old-fashioned Pentecostal Jericho March. And as I walked around my house with a little baby in that room, you foul devil, I call you down from your place. And I walked around, I'm binding and loosing, and the neighbor, shut up, you shut up. And man, we just, man, it was intense. And yeah. Well, Pastor Fink, don't you think that's a little extreme? Well, let me tell you, 39 years later, we're still together. Whatever it's going to take to stop you, the devil's going to send it. He knows you have divine potential. It wasn't by luck that you're here. It was providence that you're in this house and in this ministry. You didn't just decide the lucky dip method. You might have thought it was a lucky dip method, but if you're here, your steps are ordered of God, either consciously or unconsciously. God brought you to this house for a reason. And if you're in this ministry, you're going to get equipped or you're going to be mean. Let it happen. Let's submit to God. Let's get in that river, and we're going down under that water without a fresh anointing. Let's grab a handful of minerals and put them in our pocket. So when we get out, we can do something with those minerals. We can build something. We can equip them. We can sell them. I know a man who was doing something, and Anheuser-Busch gave him $3,000 to help him do it. And people said, other pious preachers, I wouldn't take that money from that beer. I'll cast all that beer demons off and use it to help the gospel. He said, I always say, I take the wealth of the heathen. Well, when they give it to you, shut up and use it. Here we are. We're going to close and pray. I think I said that 10 minutes ago, but we're just about ready. It's just getting late here. Is it okay if I can just talk with you and give you some couple principles? I have this saying every time I teach, not preach, I teach in our church. I say, the personhood of Christ creates your peace. But it's the principles of Christ that create your prosperity. And I don't mean just money. When you find out what the word says, look at applications change, principles are always the same. Amen. I don't care how much money you get, it's not equal giving, it's equal sacrifice in the house of the Lord. Yeah. That's the principle. Whether you have a widow's mite or you have a lot of mite. And so the patriarchs, though they died in faith, having not received the promises. You know what? And I'm sure Pastor does this. I do that in our church now. I like to pray when there's nobody in the room. I come in by myself. We have an old church. It's a 125-year-old building, seats about 460 altogether, and you can walk a long time. You can lose weight because it's big, and walking up and down, and I go in there, and look, I'm believing God for a certain amount of people right now. I'm calling that thing in because you know what? You got to see it to build it. Amen. When Paul said to Timothy, I want you to stir up that gift that was given to thee. I want you to give yourself wholly to it, meditate upon it. It's the English word imagination. You know, you can't rob a bank. You don't walk by a bank. Rob. People see themselves doing it. All sin starts with a seed thought. Amen. And so, by faith, you can find out what the word is. I was a young man in the military when I was like 18 years old, running from God. And I was in Dallas, Texas, I think it was. No, San Antonio, Texas. And I was with some other GIs, and some woman pulled up with another one in the car, a little Volkswagen, and said, hey, how would you guys like to have all the money or anything you can think of on there? I was born at night, but not last night. And man, follow us. Me and me must go. We're high-fiving and beautiful girls. You're in the town with all GIs. I said, man, there's got to be a God or a devil. I don't know what it was, but we get there, go into this house, and there are a bunch of Buddhists. They had a picture of this huge guy. His stomach was much bigger than my stomach, and they had incense in it. So they're all sitting around, you know, like they had a bowel obstruction or something. And they're all humming and making this noise. And so they took me in a room. You got to get a mantra. What's that? Just something, then you can hum it. So you know, get anything you want if you do that? Yes. I mean, I hummed for 20 minutes. Didn't get anything. So finally, I started laughing. It's kind of weird. You get in a room, everybody's like, oh, and you're the only one not doing that. It's like, this is strange. And I'm looking around. Oh. And so I just did what I normally do. I just laughed so hard, I almost fainted. So I got excommunicated from that group. They threw me out of the building. But before I left, I said this. I didn't realize how prophetic I was. I said, if I'm going to follow anyone, it will be Jesus Christ. You see, what they do in these other religions, they get their mind blank. Nirvana. Holy Ghost people, we fill our mind with the Word. We take the promises of God, and we start to see them. Before I ever went to Haiti to preach, I saw Haiti. I had never been there. I looked at pictures and things years ago, 25, 30 years ago, and in my mind, I started to pray for Haiti. I saw people, and I read some information about the Hispaniola Island and all that kind of stuff, and all of a sudden, I was there when I was in prayer. I wanted to be like Philip, translated 40 miles, and I prayed, and when I got to Haiti, I already had won the victory because I saw it afar off. And so whatever the promises are for you tonight, God didn't save you to take you to heaven, because if he did, he would have killed you when you got saved. Well, Pastor Fee, you don't understand my situation. I'm having a lot of problems. Really. Let me tell you how you can get out of all your problems tonight. Put your hand in your heart and say, God, kill me. And you go to heaven. And the rest of us are going to stay here and take this planet for Christ. We're going to take the resources, the abilities, the talents, the revelation God gave us, and we're going to do something. I think we should have a coming out of the river day. A day when we embrace the vision for God. Amen. I see my marriage strong. I see my son traveling with me preaching the gospel in other nations. I see it already. Because it says that they saw it afar off. It says they became persuaded of it. Now see, it says then they embraced it. Then they confessed it. We got it backwards. We're walking around confessing it before we see it. The reason why we got a lot of people shipwrecking their faith because they haven't saw it first. You got to see it. If you can see it, it's like the field of dreams, whatever that is, dream fields. You got to see it before you can build it. I used to take my son up to the building that one was on staff with me, and when it was used to be just a field with trees on it. He was just a little boy. I said, son, we're going to have a big building right here one day. I can see right now. I can see the mountain. I would say, where? He'd go, where, Dad? I said, behind that apple tree, I'm going to put the pulpit. It's going to be gone. And I had in my mind, before we ever stuck a shovel in the ground, it was already built, it was already done. Because if you can stir yourself up, and one of the greatest ways I find stirring up is speaking in tongues. This guy here, par excellent, getting people baptized in the Holy Ghost. I've worked with people. I've done everything. Say, put a bow tie on. See my bow tie. Five to see my bow tie. See my bow tie. See my bow tie. See my bow tie. Blah, 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 blah. Honda, Suzuki, Yamaha, Kawasaki, say it quick. And I've done everything. He comes along. He has a gift for that. How many know that? Just to get people filled. I've watched people just receive and receive. I try to spend between an hour to 3 hours a day just in tongues. I spend an hour to 3 hours a day, depending on what I'm doing today, probably 3 hours. Early this morning, was in tongues, worshiping, singing, and doing all that kind of stuff in tongues. I came here tonight singing in tongues and worshiping, because when I pray in that tongue, whether you realize it or not, it builds you up. There's something. In fact, I was with him. I was just thinking about this today. We're in a hotel in Binghamton. And he came with me. And I was preaching someplace. And so he came in the room. And somewhere in the early morning, the Spirit of God came to me. And I interacted with a demonic entity. And so I didn't want to bother him. I pulled the covers over my head with pillows. And, man, I got stuck into it. Man, you ever just war? I mean, I was binding loose and commanding. And apparently I got so loud that one had told me he got scared. The pillows were moving. Thinking, what's going on underneath that sheet? And he told me he went out and he tiptoed out of the room. And I forgot he was even there. And so when he came back, I was sitting on the edge of my bed. I don't know if you were in the room at that time. And I'm telling you, I wrestled. I was wringing wet. And we had a glorious meeting that day. We couldn't even drive our car. Never been to that church? We couldn't get in the building. We were laughing so hard. You remember? People are coming in. There's the visiting pastors. We're out there. I mean, I don't mean just like a little. I'm talking about we were besides ourselves. And so I'll never forget that day. I just spoke about it today in a meeting I was at. When I got done warring, it was over. It was over. I've had many of those experiences. When I go to nations or places, I was in India praying the same way, and birds, black birds, attacked the window. 50 of them banged into the window. My wife got up. Oh, my Lord, what is happening? And there were birds all over the sill, and I'm there talking to the birds. Because how many know the birds represent many times devils in the Bible? And my wife couldn't believe it. They're flying into the window, and I'm having fun. You devil, use! I take authority in this city, Vishakhapatnam, and I'm binding the devil, the Hindu spirits, and oh, man, I was having a good time. Did a crusade. Probably 8,000 or 9,000 Hindus got swept into the kingdom of God as a result of that encounter with the devil. And so, as I was praying with him, well, I don't know if he committed or not. I don't remember because it was like a fog. I remember sitting on the edge of the bed. I was wringing wet. You know it's bad when your socks are wet. You know you've been in a war. And I sat there and I heard the Spirit of God say to me, Ernie, you don't have because you don't even ask. See, the devil knows if he gets you discouraged, you'll stop asking. The key that unlocks prayer is the key to heaven, but faith unlocks the door. You got to ask. Lord, you said, ask for the nations. It's a Greek word that is a progressive word. Ask, keep asking. Knock, keep knocking. Seek, keep seeking. So I'll never forget that day. I said, I don't know if you were there or not, but I said loud, you want me to ask? Yeah, I know anybody looking in through the keyhole think, this guy, he's retarded, man. You know, you want me to ask? I'll ask. I don't know if you were there at that moment. And, man, I asked in tongues. I asked in tongues because I couldn't articulate it in English. Glossolalia. I stood up, and I don't know what I said, but it came from here. And I let out like a lion's whelp, like the Vulcan death cry. I'm telling you, it was a groan. People were leaving the hotel at that point to see him. We're getting out of here. This guy's crazy, you know? But I asked in a supernatural tongue that came from the depth down here. With utterances and groanings which cannot be. I don't know what I said, but God was blessed. And he heard my prayers, and we had a great time in that fellowship. Stand up tonight. Can I get somebody on the piano? Are you okay tonight?
Yes.
Amen. Let's give the Lord a clap offering. Hallelujah. We're going to do one more thing tonight in prayer. Look, if we can lay hands, you people have had more prophecy in this place than Ezekiel, Revelation, the book of Daniel. Let's get proactive with what God's already spoken. I have so many prophecies given to me. When I was 23 years old, a man who's dead now, I believe in prophets. They don't take the place of God's voice for my life. But as a young man, just married, he wrote me a letter about my ministry. I didn't even believe in apostles. I mean, they died poor. I mean, I just was raised that way. He told me I'd have 2 children. He told me about my daughter and my son. All that he said has come to pass. My best days, brother, are yet. Yours too. Our best days are yet ahead. Isn't it amazing? The scripture says that the early apostles, they longed to live in this day. As a young Christian, I used to think, if I could have walked the shores of Galilee, those who did said, I want to live in your day. The opposition the church will face will be the greatest opportunity to take those resources in that river and to build and to establish and to equip and to release. The nations are crying today. If you can hear the cry, there's a cry in the nations. Close your eyes. I want you to do something by faith. I want you to get ready with your right hand. Kind of make a fist with your right hand right now in preparation by faith. I'm going to quote a scripture, then we're going to activate that scripture by faith. The scripture says in Romans 5 that we have been justified by faith. Can you say amen with me?
Amen.
We've been justified by faith, and we have peace with God. This morning we sang a song in this meeting, I am the friend. I couldn't get my emotions around that. The concept that I am the friend of the only true and living God. I mean, I really had a hard time because, look, if you believe the mighty God lives on the inside of you, demons are not your problem. Lack is not a problem. Finances are really not a problem. If it's the mighty God, if it's the plastic Jesus on the dashboard of people's cars, you got problems. But it's the mighty God. The riches of the glory of this mystery is revealed in us tonight. It's Christ in us. It's Christ in us. Paul said, Romans chapter 8, if Christ be in you, hey, he's in us tonight. If Christ be in you, if Christ be in you, the Spirit is life because of righteousness. The body is dead because of sin. We reckon that part of us that tries to call us back, it's dead. I reckon myself dead to that. I'm dead to that addiction. I'm dead to that attitude. I'm dead to that hurt. Dead people don't complain at funerals. They're dead. And I reckon myself dead. But we've been justified by faith, and we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 2 says, and by faith, would you say faith? And by faith, we have access into his grace. Paul said he was a minister according to the grace of God. Charles Spurgeon said, that which separates average ministers from great ministers is the grace of God that abounds in their life. God resists the prideful man, but he gives grace to the humble. And so by faith, we have access into this grace. His divine gratuity. We're saved by that same grace. God's enabling ability. And by faith, and by faith, and by faith, we have access into this grace. Verse 21 of the same chapter says, even as sin has reigned unto death, even so the grace of God reigns through righteousness. Tonight, I want you to think of two areas in your life that you're struggling with. It might be your weight. It might be a problem in the family situation, whatever. It might be financial, it might be a job, it might be direction. I want you to get the hold of those two things. Wrap your faith around two situations. Are you with me tonight? You got two of them. I want you to take your right hand, I want you to extend it forward like you're grabbing a fistful of money. Just hold it there. When I pray in the name of Jesus, and I want you to squeeze that answer and just draw it right into your spirit. Just draw your hand up to your chest. Now, in the name of Jesus, I speak every word spoken against anyone in this room and every family. I break the power of those words in the name of Jesus. Every curse spoken against anyone in this room, I break the power of those curses in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Now, Father, you said it's not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to your mercy that you've saved us. In Psalms 13, you said you take pleasure in those who hope in your mercy. And tonight, Father, in Jesus' name, by faith now, in Jesus' name, we are reaching out and appropriating the grace of God. Here it is right now. Grab it and pull it into yourself right there and hold on to it right there. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Right there. Hold on to it. Let's start to confess. Faith says the same thing the Word says. Father, I thank you. I've received right now tonight. I thank you. I've received tonight in Jesus' name. I've received the grace of God. Hallelujah. I've received surely goodness and mercy is now following me in that situation, in that environment, all the days of my life. Goodness and mercy. Hallelujah. I thank you tonight, Father, that everyone in this room that's in Christ, you're not dealing with them after their sins, nor rewarding them according to their iniquities, but we're free tonight. Hallelujah. I receive the answer tonight in Jesus' name. I receive it tonight in Jesus' name. When we're in worship tonight, I receive the grace of God to receive finances tonight. I'll never forget November 7th, 2009, Kingston, New York. I received the grace of God to apprehend why he apprehended me in a situation. I received it tonight. And my confession of faith from now on will be, I believe I received Jesus Christ, the high priest of our confession tonight. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You think this is just emotionalism? Look at this is how we live. This is what we do. We are saved by grace through faith. We can grow in faith. It's about to just live by this way. This is the way we live. We got to stop trying to sweat and through effort, trying to receive from God. We can receive by faith. And the grace of God is strong here tonight. It's strong within this house. And there'll be a release of many things within this house as we take the resources and we apply them. Look at it. If I was you, I tell you, I'd be over to that nursing home. I'd be at to that prison. I'd be taking what resources I know I have. God don't judge you for what you don't know, but for what you do know. Take what you do know and take that power, take that anointing, take the freedom of Christ. Redeemed of the Lord say so tonight. Hallelujah. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Whom he hath redeemed from the hand of the fowler. Hallelujah. 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 I've received tonight. Now, if you're here tonight and you need the grace of God for a family member that's lost, right now I'm sensing my spirit that to someone you're in deep pain and contrition because there's a loved one, a son, he's a male, who is far from God. You see the promises on one hand, you see this environment on the other hand. I want to challenge you tonight as you pray for that individual. Maybe you have others in your life that are here tonight. I want you to see them the way God's promise sees them. To see them strong. We're not in denial. We're calling the thing that is not manifested as though it is manifested. That's what faith does. Hallelujah. Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you that you've promised us thou shalt be saved. In the name of Jesus, I break the power of fear of family members going to hell in Jesus' name. Break the power of fear that you have failed in your walk and your witness and now you're afraid to let your light shine. I break the power of that in Jesus' name. 86% of people come to Christ in America because of a friend or a relative. God anointed you. God chose you. He called you for this hour. I claim my family. What good would it be if all of earth went to heaven and my family went to hell? Hallelujah. Your family, if they want to go to hell, they're born in the wrong family because you have a covenant with God. Now, Father, tonight in Jesus' name, I just want to release the grace of God with the blessing of my life and my ministry and my marriage. I release it within this house. Father, I hear the Lord saying tonight, thus says the Lord, I'm about ready to shift gears. Your eye hasn't seen, your ear hasn't even heard, nor has it even entered into your heart the things that I've prepared for this house. The enemy has come in like a wave to check you out. But the Lord would say, not just within this house, but within other houses, they have prayed and stood in the gap for this ministry. For I've said that this ministry shall touch the nations. And that which I've spoken, I will watch over to bring it to pass, says the Lord. So the Lord would say tonight, put your seatbelt on. Put your stick in neutral and let me drive. And you will see that I will take you to places that you could not even imagine. You can experience my power, not just upon yourself, but flowing through you and to you. For I have said in the past, if I can get it through you, I will get it to you, says the Lord. So yield unto me. No longer defying your life by your present circumstances. But I said that your faith would become effective when you start to acknowledge every good thing I've already done in you in Christ. So be strong in the Lord tonight and in the power of his might. For I will allow you to experience the greater one who lives on the inside, says the Lord. The world will say it's dark, but I say you are the light of the world. Go forth and let that light shine before men. Let them hear, let them see your good works. Let them hear your confession of faith. And thus says the Lord, I shall cause you to plant seeds. And I will do a quick work. The Lord said, when I release the grace, it will be a quick work within this house, and I will cut it short in righteousness, and others will come from other nations and other places within this nation to see what the Lord has done. So do not be weary in well-doing, says the Lord, but be strong in faith. Hold fast to that confession of faith without wavering, for you shall see that I am faithful, says the Lord. I feel tonight that there's four other ministers who have not been recognized in this house that will be raised up and sent to other places. I want you to hold fast. If that's in your heart, the man who desires the office of a bishop desires a good thing. If God put that within your spirit, don't define what it looks like. But hold fast to the promises of God. Stop worrying worship. Come on. Stop worrying. That's a strength in this house. Major on your strength. Work on your weaknesses. Major on your strength, but work on your weaknesses. Now, Father, tonight I've given what you've given me. I bless this house. the blessing of God make rich and add no sorrow. And Father, I ask you to watch over your word tonight in Jesus' name. One more time, can we give the Lord a clap offering? He is worthy. Amen. Thank you.
Hey, Phil, come out, bud. I just want to, if we could just stay standing for a moment. I don't think the Lord has finished. Some of you may not know, I just had some minor surgery this week, so I've been in, you know, certain pain and discomfort, not sleeping, sleeping in a chair instead of a bed, you know, all that stuff, isn't there? I'm not looking for any sympathy, don't get me wrong, I'm blessed. But I got a revelation last night that I can't explain easily, but I suddenly realized just how much we're holding each other in debt. I'm not talking about money necessarily. You know, I talk about the fact that I don't have any debts, thank God. But I want you to hear this. As a pastor, I realize that certain expectations are put on me, and they're wrong. And last night I got set free from it. It was the most wonderful experience. Because we are, and Ernie said it tonight, we have all been set free for one reason and one reason only, and that's to be free. So pastoral suicide is something that I do believe in every now and then. I get, you don't have to do anything in this kingdom. Nothing. When Jesus saved you, he opened the door of your prison and said, you're free. Period. End of conversation. Now those people, the ones who've tasted that freedom, and there aren't that many around, but there's a few in this room, and we're growing in number. Those people have no limitations on their life. Did you hear what I said? They have no limitations because they've got no expectation to perform. I realized how I had an expectation that I've got to preach a certain way because I'm a good preacher, or I'm this, or I'm that, or the other. Anybody know what I'm talking about? And I realized that's all demonic. Whoa, somebody's pushing me. Not these two. And I just had such an awesome experience. But I want to tell you, it was accompanied by this. Nothing in this world is more important in my life. And I'm saying this in front of my wife. I've already said this. My children, my grandchildren. Nothing is more important in my life than hearing God's voice. And if you think there's something more important, I'm talking about hearing God's voice in an Abrahamic surety. And that is the freedom I believe God is bringing the church into. And I'm saying that because last week I preached a message on love one another, which some people said it wasn't bad, and I'm not looking for anything. But what I'm saying is this. The love of God without the love of one another is a stick. Did you hear that? The love of God without the love of one another is a stick. And God loves the unsaved as much as he loves us. That is hard for me to grasp. So all I'm saying is that, gee, God hasn't finished here tonight. I would like to pray for people if nobody else wants to pray for people. But we're going to pray for people.
Amen.
Years ago, I was in Jamaica, and I heard the story of people who rustle goats. He'll be okay. I'm an American. We wrestle cattle. But anyways, there was these men who would rustle goats. Not wrestle, rustle. And what they would do is they would go around at nighttime with their little pickup truck, and they would steal goats. And they would take rope and wrap it around their feet and throw them in a truck. So late one morning, they were hitting a particular farmer, and the farmer came out and chased them, and they took off. And as they went down the road, bumpy road in Jamaica, one of the goats fell out. Just popped out, laid in the side of the road. That morning, children were going to school. As they came by, one of them saw the goat laying there. He had his feet all like this, tied up. And they felt so bad, so they untied him. And that goat laid there with its feet like this. The rope was off. They were free. But in their own mind, they were still tied up. The scripture says this in the New Living Translation, Romans 12:2. Don't copy the customs or the behaviors of this world, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. There was a lot of information given tonight. But I want to submit to the pastor. I think that we could do some impartation and stirring up people, but we don't lay empty hands on empty heads. You can go down the street and do that. People who come in by faith want to receive. We don't need to counsel. You just need to receive. And we can have something good.